I like comments. I mean, that's I like when people quote it. To me, that's when it makes me feel like.
I mean, I'm not saying I hate it when people quote it. That's just.
That's when you start.
As soon as people start quoting my stuff, then it's not really like mine anymore.
That's fair.
It's not like when I'm working on a video, like it's mine. And then as soon as my friends are like, hey, cute boy club. And it's just.
Sure.
Like, it's an outside
I'm like,
joke.
I can't. I'm like,
an
I can't.
An outside joke versus an inside joke.
That's fair.
Yes, this was special and funny to me.
It's a weird thing.
Listen, man. Weird,
but this is how I feel.
You're just like George Lucas. Yes. I've always said that about you.
Exactly like
George
Lucas.
I've always said that
in every way.
You know what, though? Because that points to your desire to want to keep creating and making more shit. Because there's plenty of people out there who are content with like doing a thing that everybody likes. And then they're like, oh, good. I get to bask in this forever for the rest of my life.
Totally.
And not really challenge themselves, which is fine. I guess it's a fine way to live.
Yeah, that's pretty much why.
You always
want
to keep progressing and do shit that makes you laugh. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of there.
Yeah, that's why I stopped doing Clay World and ruined my life.
Yeah, just go back and do one. Do a Clay Man. No, he ended it.
It's over.
No, just do another Clay Man and make a Brazilian dollars.
I know. You're right. I'm going to do a different Clay series. I'm going to do like a different Claymation
Clay
series.
Clay Women.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Clay Women.
That's what you just.
I don't know when I'm going to do that.
Capitalize on this feminist trend. Clay Women. It's perfect. It's a female fronted
Clay Women
sitcom,
with big
camera.
Ass, big tits.
Yeah, big ass titties. And dude, they're clay, so you can like make them as big as you want. Like as long as you have more clay.
You guys are right on the mark here. I mean, I think this is really a great idea. I think there's no way that it has any sort of back. Like I think it's perfect.
And then it's just me starting over from. I'm just like recreating every Clay World episode I've ever done.
Yeah.
Except they have tits.
Yes. And at the end, they ow, my period. It's the joke. That's how every single one ends. You're so you good. Can't even do it ironically.
I'm sick of it ironically. Yeah. To be honest with you, like it's hit the point now where.
Why is this a thing that I don't?
No,
know
for real. Like it's. I feel like I now am too embarrassed by facetious.
Sure.
Like anti-feminism stuff. Because right. people being more than reality or like, you know, making fun of stupid people who feel that way, that's funny. But like, I like find myself immediately tired and like not wanting to.
Yeah.
Making fun of stupid. Like, wow.
Yeah. Nah, I don't know. You can joke about anything, and you should joke about everything. I guess it's not that.
Yeah, but it's just like everything else. There's moods and ebb and flow and taste. And yes. Right now, maybe we're just not so
I
into
think
that. That.
Honestly, that's maybe it's just
sure.
Literally.
Maybe 10 years from now, it'll be funny again.
This day in this week, like yeah. I don't know,
just old hat. It's like it's just this is fucking lazy.
It's like an old hat.
Yeah,
it's exactly what
it's like.
Like
an old hat. And in 10 years, it's gonna be retro and vintage, and everyone's gonna be bringing back sexism and going, look at my cool old hat.
Wait,
wow, we love that.
I take it back. It's not like an old hat.
Reasonable Beef. My name is Tim Kish. I'm joined by my usual guy.
That's me, the old boy, your friend and your pal and your God. God.
And it's God, everybody. I'm here with God. It's Dom. He's here. And who else is here?
Robert Binfer.
My God.
A YouTuber.
You look so YouTuber. Anxious.
I'm sorry,
Robert.
I was trying to think of a creative way to say my name, and it just came out my normal name.
Dom literally just stumbled over a bunch of words and then ended on God.
Yeah,
set the bar fine.
Real low bar.
I think it was actually funnier you saying your actual name. It's your second time on the show. Actually, I would probably say that this is your 1.5 time on a show because the other time you didn't see the movie and then you sat here quietly.
Yeah, I was drinking PBRs.
It was good. Yeah.
I was having fun.
11 a.m.
It was a good episode.
I didn't see the new Mummy and I didn't watch the old Mummy that I was supposed to watch.
Well, if you're defending the new Mummy today, I would shit my pants. Today we're doing a spooky, ooktacular version of Defenders of the Rotten.
Ooh.
And Defenders of the Rotten is a game where we take a movie, low rating, on Rotten Tomatoes, and we say why it's actually better than that and give it a new score. We do recognize Rotten Tomatoes is an aggregate score and not an actual real number score, but that ruins the whole premise of the game.
Ooh.
So please try to think about it. And also, yeah, it's ghosts. At the end, you have to... I'm not. Fuck jokes.
Sick.
I don't like sound
into
effects.
The show.
Sorry, I forgot. He told me that beforehand too. He was like, "Listen, if there's one thing,
ghost sound effects, oh, it was on his primer. Spooky laughs.
Like, yeah,
I need no corn nuts sounds. In the green room. No clown makeup.
Yep. And so far, we're like fucking 3 for 3. We really fucked up with
don't
tonight.
Don't say the N word.
Tall order.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, Defenders of the Rotten. Take a movie, low Rotten Tomato score, raise it on up. Spooktacular edition. So we're gonna do things that are vaguely scary and vaguely Halloweeny. Why don't we kick it off with Damo?
Mine's not vaguely. Mine is a horror movie.
What's your movie?
Spider-Man 3.
It's Spider-Man 3, baby.
What a spook fest!
Don't be insane. As if I would fucking defend that.
And then they spent $160 million.
It's the scariest shit I've ever heard.
But anyway, so what's your actual flick?
My actual flick is 30 Days of Night, the vampire movie based on the vampire comic.
Based on Alaska, the state of Alaska.
Based on Alaska. Doesn't have a terrible... It's not like a completely shit upon movie, but it has like a 50 or 52.
Okay. I've never heard...
Which I was shocked about. But you haven't heard of this?
No, I've seen it. Well, I haven't seen it since theaters.
I've seen it, but I've never heard of it.
No, I was going to say, I've never heard anybody shit on that movie.
No, me neither, and that's what I'm saying. So it's not like...
I just feel like
it's
kind of...
It's like not even worth shitting on.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it kind of went under the radar. Like, it didn't... Like, nobody really...
It's one of those things where this is where we become... And again, we're...
It's fine.
We know it's an aggregate thing and blah, 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 but it's like something that is as well made as it is. I have a hard time being like, it deserves... anything less than some sort of fresh score that maybe someone would give it the time of day. Ha ha, hee hee, hoo hoo.
No, yeah. Give it a beep. Because it's about, nighttime. Got it.
Yeah.
So a little goblin jig.
Yeah, I had to do it a whole thing. Anyway. Once I start, that's it. Yeah, I mean... Listen, it's one of the, like, I'm not about to come in and be like, it has an emotional punch and, like, you know, it doesn't get enough credit for, you know, the story of a man and his ex-wife, as is all other horror movie things of ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so good at the horror, the monster movie part of it. I mean, it is a monster movie. It's a horror movie. It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, hey, there's a bunch of people, they're stuck in this shit situation. It's really clever.
They're
about
stuck in Alaska.
They're stuck in shit. And
they're stuck in this weird situation where they have to live in Alaska.
We live in Alaska.
It's insane.
It's
just a nightmare.
But like, it's really clever also in the setup of it, of like, and I guess this is just a thing for those towns up there where
the title is somebody from Alaska complaining that they're in Alaska. Like 30 days of night. 30 days of night.
300 days of summer is about living in LA.
Hey.
Ah!
It was 108 degrees yesterday. It's
sorry,
October.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. I mean, this is the name of the game, isn't it? Interrupt Dom.
Yeah, that's what we call the podcast.
But it's too smart and too... not cheap looking for me to like excuse it being anything other than like, hey, it's like a well-made spooky scary ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
I like they set up the whole beginning where they're like, you just know that okay, a shitload of people leave town when this happens because people don't want to spend a month in darkness, so they go to like Seattle or whatever. And then they're like, it opens with
this
like...
This place is too depressing. Let's go to Seattle.
You know what the first thing that they
the
find...
The city of tears. It literally cries all the time.
City of clouds and rain. They like find in the beginning of the movie, like it doesn't do the we found the first dead body. The first thing they find are cell phones that are like... burned and piled up in the middle in the snow somewhere. And it's that you start to realize, oh, the vampires have sent like their little minion, and he's like was taking everybody's cell phones away, and so no one can call for help anywhere. And then like the guy who has a helicopter, his helicopter's been completely ripped apart and all the parts are fucked up, and oh, he can't fly away if they wanted to. And it's like, okay, this is kind of cool. The setup is less like, oh, we're finding people who are starting to get killed. It's more like setting up why they're all about to be fucked for 30 days. And then it's just scary. And I will say, like, the one thing, weirdly enough, this came out, what was it, 2008, I think. And I didn't read a lot of actual reviews, but I looked on the Rotten Tomatoes thing, and there was more than one time that people mentioned 28 Days Later. And maybe it's just maybe it's the closeness
numbers
in the title and days or whatever. But, like, they were comparing it to that a lot, and they'd be like, oh, it's kind of, you know, it's what...
There was not even close.
Not
to
really. I mean,
being compared to Seven, I like the number 21 far more than I like this film.
The number 23 star. Or number Jim 23. Carrey.
Oh fuck!
Reminded
the
me
number
too much.
Lucky 21.
Lucky number.
Well, there is 27. 21 is there. But I don't know. I think
stop
that was
making
kinda
movies with numbers in them.
Yeah,
we used all the numbers.
Yeah,
there's
no more left.
You know what? I'm confident that throughout history, all the numbers have been used at least once.
Oh yeah, me too.
No argument here.
I agree.
So I think it was kind of unfairly, and I guess because it was that was just still on people's minds, or that was the same. What the fuck? What year did 28 Days Later come out?
Probably like 2005.
2007? 2007.
Sure.
Oh, so possibly. It's like, I guess it was on people's minds, and the whole idea was that while we're taking vampires, which are usually these like kind of slow, cunning creatures, and we're making them, they fucking run after you and they rip you apart and they can burst into your house without being invited. So it's like, okay, they're doing the for vampires what 28 Days Later did with zombies. But like, I don't know, man. Like, it's that's that weird thing of when you look back in hindsight and when you're divorced from 10 years ago and you're just looking at it as just some other movie. I think if that came out today, people would be like, wow, a really strong, fucking scary horror movie set in town.
I remember hating it.
I remember it scared me. Weirdly, that was. I remember like laying in bed that night, and I have a vivid memory of laying and having my eyes open and looking into the shadows of my room and going, that kind of freaked me out. Like, I'm a little afraid. Like, wow. I can see those fucking spooky faces in
I'm
my.
A little scared right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I was excited about it. It gave me. It was a similar feeling to when I saw It recently.
Mom, I'm scared.
Mom, it's still great. I'm not dead inside. I don't know. It's strong. And I will say, like, one of the things you could harp on it for is that you do start to get a little desensitized from how many people fucking get slashed open and ripped apart. And
that's 2000s horror movies in a nutshell.
I guess
right?
So, sure. And but I will say that, like, one of the reviews was like, once the killing starts happening, you're left with all of these boring people, and like, so the movie just sucks because you're left with the worst. Like,
sure,
it's some allusion to like maybe the vampires killed all the interesting people in town before. But like, I would argue that the movie would be exclusively mean if you cared any more than you do about the people you're watching.
Sure.
Because people die the whole movie. Like, just people who are part of their team get fucking ripped apart and pulled under houses. And you're like, I feel like if I cared an inch more, it would go away from like, oh fuck, to like, I don't like this.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, this is just shitty. They're just being shitty to a bunch of nice people.
We were talking about this a couple weeks ago, but like, a good horror movie, well, I'm not a huge fan of horror, but like, from what I've noticed is that a trope is that you plant a little seed of resentment of the characters in the viewer's mind so that they're like, oh, whatever, he died.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be in that situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that, not me. Yeah. But meanwhile, in this, and that's something that, like, I don't know what, there's a hairline of when it feels mean versus when it's like just a cool setup, because this is just exclusively a town full of people who aren't doing anything wrong, and these fucking terrifying creatures show up and start ripping their throats
out. Alaska.
And you're just like, oh,
well, that's where they fucked up. Yeah. You're doing something clearly wrong.
I would never be there. Like, which
they,
is fine. Yeah,
they
yeah.
walked into this like frozen tundra and
where'd
went,
they come? Where'd they come
I
from?
I bet an Applebee's would work out here.
Where were they before they came to Alaska?
And always in Alaska. They were always. Oh, you mean the vampires?
Yeah.
I don't know. They show up on a ship. They even the vampires make some sort of reference to like referencing the premise of its own movie, being like, it's kind of crazy we didn't think of this before, because this is like, this happens. It's weird that we never put this together. What a cool idea. And then the main vampire looks into the camera.
Feels like it's like a road.
And it says in the subtitles, like,
what we could probably make several good sequels off of this premise. There are many towns in Alaska in which this could occur.
Oh, and dude, and it ends with like, and I forgot this happened too. I remembered most parts of this movie. Like, I when a scene would start, I was like, ooh, this is the that. And I would kind of like, you know, turn.
Ooh, it's a the that.
Back to It. It's my scare.
Yo, is that a that?
Bunch of its.
Anyway,
but at the end of it, completely forgot this happened. They're realizing like, oh, they're going to set the town on fire because tomorrow the sun's coming up, and they're going to basically erase that this happened so the humans don't realize that vampires are real and don't come. Because it's that interesting thing of being like, yes, we know that if this was a well-equipped town in the modern day, this probably wouldn't be a problem. Like, they would just be able to like shoot and kill them all or call the police and it would be dealt with. Right. So that's why I like that they set up, we're going to cut them off from the world, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of it, he's like, all right, so they're going to, if they burn down the town, the woman he loves, like, you know, the ex-wife is going to burn alive with a little kid. And just in case you didn't care enough about the ex-wife, there's also this innocent little girl who we haven't known the whole movie, who's also under the truck now. So you're like, all right, well, I guess I don't want the little girl to die. And like, he goes, son of a bitch. And like runs into the other room where they killed one of the vampires, takes out a syringe, takes the vampire's blood out and injects himself with vampire blood. And he's like,
shit, yeah,
I'm going to be the best vampire now. And I'm going to kill the other vampires by being one. And he does. He goes out and he just
does it. That's fucking,
it works.
I know exactly why you like this movie, because that's the greatest twist.
That's the greatest ending. He's got to be one
of
the monsters.
He becomes a vampire.
He's got to be the best monster. And he does. And it's amazing.
Well,
he goes
pretty
out.
Much the mummy.
Do you want to know how he wins the fight? P.S. There's no
clever...
How
do you know that was going to work?
Oh, he didn't. Well, no, because there was a couple people who had gotten bit in the movie where for at least an hour or so, they were able to still talk and be themselves and be like, don't let me completely turn, you know, kill me. I don't want to be a monster. Oh, okay. So he's like, all right, I guess I'll have a little bit of time to kick ass and be the cool guy in this movie. And so he does, and he goes out. He wins the fight. It's not in some sort of clever turn of vampire mythology or using a cross or sunlight. He punches through the guy's head.
Hell yeah.
That's how he wins the end. He goes, I'm just going to beat you, punch harder now. And he punches one the ending. And his fist goes through the main vampire's head.
This movie again.
And then all the other vampires go, oh, fuck. And then he's kind of like back up. And you're like, couldn't you just all...
You literally just described an anime. Like how they overcame by punching harder.
I'm just going to punch him as hard as I can right through his stupid fucking skull.
He killed the biggest, baddest guy.
And then weirdly enough, as detached as you are from the characters in the movie, when it ends with like, he is a vampire now. They don't backtrack. He doesn't get cured. And there's this spot they set up in the beginning of the movie. They're like, oh, everybody takes their first date to this spot to watch the sun go down or the sunrise. Everyone in town does that. And him and the ex-wife go up to that spot and he's a vampire and the sun comes up and he just disintegrates. He like turns into ash and she just holds him while he's like dying. And that's the end of the movie.
Sure.
And you're like, fucking cool. And that was what was interesting is like, oh, I didn't care enough about them that when all this shit was happening to them, it made me upset. But now at the end,
Now that he's got powers, it's amazing how two-dimensional characters could seem so much more important than they actually are when they have superpowers.
Give me some goddamn vampire powers and I'm in. I mean, across the board.
Across.
Fuck you, dude. Fuck you and all your words. But yeah, so this has got a 52 or 51 or something like that.
That's not even that bad.
It's not that bad, but I don't think, like, I think, if again, it's a disservice that if someone's looking at this movie and sees that it has anything rotten and they decide to not watch it, but it sort of looks like something they'd like, that's annoying. Like,
right.
I would give this a fucking solid, like, 75 for what it's up to. Because that's the other thing, too. We're judging by what is it doing? What is it trying to do?
What if he didn't turn into a vampire at the end?
I would still like it, because it's still effective in just being like a holy fuck kind of movie where just people are getting torn up. And that was all it was doing. It never for a second thought it was anything more than that. It was just like, it's a survival movie. And it fucking nails it.
And that guy also directed... Twilight Eclipse.
There you go.
I think that was the last thing that he directed.
There you go. Man.
Anyway, so what would you say? You give it a 75?
75, I think.
A good vampire movie.
Okay. Do you want to go next? You want me to go?
I guess I'll go next.
Wait, do you have a thing about vampire movies? Do you like vampires?
Not really, no.
What's your favorite movie monster?
My favorite movie monster?
Like type of monster.
I don't really like monsters.
What the fuck is wrong with you? I don't, how dare you be here?
No, I really don't. I can't think of a... I guess I like Freddy Krueger.
That's fair.
Yeah, I like Freddy Krueger.
He's a good one.
I don't really like vampires or
you
zombies.
You like the child rapist murderer?
Yes, of course.
That's my favorite. Everyone forgets that about Freddy. Like, Freddy, he says bitch, and he's crazy. He's like, you know, he raped children. That's why they burned him to death. That's like why he's not... It's not cool that he's winning.
Was the him being innocent in addition to the remake?
No, he wasn't. It must have been, because he was like... He was... Gotcha. 100% the guy. Like, he was evil.
Yeah, and when they did it with fucking Jackie Earle Haley, there's like the whole point was that the parents burned him alive.
And that's a way better idea.
Right.
Because so you like you immediately align with the spirit of vengeance, like, which is, right, you know what? I'll take it because that'll just lead directly in my mind, which leads into mine, Jason X.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite through lines of the first one's kind of psychological. It's still a slasher, but it turns out to be his mom. You know, it's just like a story about like, you know, abandoning kids and shit like that. And then the second one is, no, actually he is. He actually is the number one strongest, best guy in the entire world.
Completely misconstrued.
Like, no. Yes. Which is, you know, it's what I always say about Rocky. It's like the first one is him versus poverty. The fourth one is him versus a literal Russian cyborg. So it's like, so in that tradition, of course, Jason would end up in space at some point. Like, yeah. He's cryogenically frozen in 2008. And he wakes up in the year 2445 just picks up where he left off and just starts fucking murdering people. And it's a bad, bad movie. It's not like a...
What is its score right now?
It's a 19% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Not fair.
That's not that bad.
But I would argue this movie knows exactly what the fuck it's up to.
Sure. Yeah.
Like when you posit we're sending him to space, this came out in 2002. We're already post 90s. We're not fucking around. This is something they know exactly what they're doing. We're already dipping into irony territory. And it is ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. It's 100% ridiculous. The first kill is he takes a woman's face, puts it in like a cryogenic freezer, and then smashes her head into a bunch of ice shards.
Sick.
It's great. It's nuts. It's off the wall. It's Jason in space. It's a slasher horror movie. And if you watch this going like, oh, I can't believe it's not quite up to snuff of the other ones. Like, yeah, of course it's not, but it's just, it's nonsense. And that's intentionally what it's supposed to be.
It is that weird thing of like when it feels insulting. Like, I don't know how people felt about when this movie, when it came out, were people like, oh, for fuck's sake, how did, like, you know, you're spitting upon what was this classic horror movie character.
That's exactly what people thought.
But like, whereas now I look at that and I'm like, of course you fucking put him in. So like, who gives a shit? Like, you know what I mean? Well, but
yeah. So the story goes is that Freddy versus Jason was in the works like since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, it wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. And there hadn't been a Jason movie, I think, in like 10 years at that point. So like, motherfucker, we just got to get like, we'll do something with this character.
Huh.
And as soon as they greenlit it, Freddy vs. Jason also got greenlit. So it's like, oh, fuck. So Freddy vs. Jason is like literally the next year. So this is just like a very strange movie. It is a why did this get made? Man. Why the fuck would they ever make this? But that in and of itself doesn't discredit the thing.
Come to think of it, Freddy vs. Jason is fucking insane. Like for some reason right now, that's really sinking in how bonkers that is that movie
that it happens. Oh, absolutely.
That's the craziest thing ever.
Yeah, and it's funny that those two are the
Maybe
ones.
Not ever. That's a big stretch. That's the most insane thing ever heard.
No, dude, crazier than Jason in space.
It's crazy that they did it so early because that's an idea that would fit in perfect in 2003. So Freddy vs. Jason came out in 2003.
Right.
That is an idea that would be just at home in 2018's Christmas lineup of movies or like fall lineup of movies. Like Freddy versus Jason versus fucking Mr. Halloween or whatever.
Mr. Halloween, yeah.
Jonathan
Mike
Halloween.
Myers.
Yes, Michael Myers. I remember just watching this when I was younger and really thinking it was rad at the time, just because it isn't. There's a point when Jason gets blown to pieces and rebuilt by nanobots into what's called Uber Jason.
Nice.
Where he's now a cyborg Jason. Like, come on.
That's
movie
ridiculous.
Goes up so it racks. It starts high. It starts with, him being cryogenically frozen and launched into space.
Right.
Or not launched into space, whatever. With him being cryogenically frozen.
Why
and then
they...
ends with him like, he's got like rocket packs on his fucking back and he's.
That's the last thing that we needed.
They know what they're up to.
He's already strong enough.
Oh, how did this happen? Damn it.
Is Uber
I was already
Jason.
Real scared of him.
And I heard this
Uber
on,
Jason?
I heard this in another podcast, but not to steal.
Uber X Jason?
This movie has more sequels than I think that the Friday the 13th series or something like that.
Wait, what do you mean?
There is more sequels directly in the Jason X universe. There's 5 sequels in the
what?
Jason X universe, and they're novelizations.
What?
So somebody wrote the novels of the continued adventures of Space Jason. This is fucking nuts. Spacen, yes.
Wow.
Why did they call him Spacen? But yeah, it's a 19. It's not good by any means, but it's not a 19 kind of a movie. If you're watching this and
standard.
Saying that this sucks, yes, by what exactly what it's up to, it's fine. Some of the effects are kind of poor, but whatever. I'd crank it up to like a 45, like a 50.
Nice.
It's just like a middling, ridiculous horror movie that knows exactly what it's up to.
You should check out this Jason X movie.
Yeah.
Once and for all.
We're really convincing you tonight, aren't we?
You should just,
you know what?
It really is worth a watch. Just from the first kill, you're already like, okay, so he's going to utilize space technology to murder these teenagers. And this is my favorite part about it, is that because it's set so far in the future, everyone's name is like Gleep Glop or Azorius.
Oh, very good.
Like they're all... ridiculous name, like Kazaa and like all these wacky ass fucking future names, and it's great. It's like, oh, he killed Medonkulus.
Yeah. I don't care. It's a ridiculous name.
Medonkulus. Very fun. Very fun, silly movie.
The timing of these kinds of movies are interesting to me, because you do feel like something like Jason X would be way more embraced right now, because sure. It's bonkers. And even Drive Angry to an extent. I know that I was only like 6 years ago. I think it'll be rediscovered.
Jason X, I think eventually it'll be rediscovered. But yeah.
I feel like I would be more... Because even in 2011, like, we were sort of like, this is stupid, we're going... But it wasn't. I know for a fact we weren't as sharp about it as we would be now if this movie. Oh, absolutely. Came out. You know what I mean?
I think that the quote unquote. I'm gonna. Hi. Robert's just filming me. Okay. I'm gonna coin something right now. It's from like 2004 to 2012. There was a whole genre of movie that I will call the high octane genre of movie. Uh-huh. It's Rock and Rolla, Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, mm-hmm. Crank, The Transporter, like those kind of movies that are all like the camera's always moving and always chasing a guy, because they're not just action movies. There's like a certain kind of thing where they're like, we're cranking this up to 11. Ghost Rider 2 is like another example of that, where, you know, they're utilizing experimental camera like filming styles, you know, like Crank has some very interesting shots in it, like a lot of those fisheye angle lenses, like shaming in his face. Yeah, it does. It doesn't always work out, but like you're talking about an experimental style of action filmmaking, which is fucking rad. And I think that that's something we'll appreciate probably about like 10, 15 years from now.
And it's weird because it was almost like, I don't know, there's probably someone smarter than me can make a better correlation between like the YouTube-y thing starting to happen and people and like quote unquote digital filmmaking starting to come up, and then something like Crank being released. Like the way that movie looks is bonkers, because it doesn't really look like, at that time, it's not what a movie looks like.
Sure.
It looks like it was shot on
like a web series.
Yeah, exactly. Or like a really long music video or something.
Yeah. It's just interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
New wave of indie film, man.
I hope it'll be good. I just really hope that.
Oh, it won't.
It's like, hey, it's like, wow, you know, so many people have access to all the creative tools now. It's like, yeah, but is that good? Is that a good thing?
Tune into my channel to watch content coming out.
Absolutely.
Well, Speaking to this.
Is it the one that you want? It's a deep irony that, like, literally everyone at this table would not be at this table if not for digital content.
No, I'm not going to shit on it ever.
But it's like being able to have a sense of self awareness.
The pendulum's going to swing towards that thing of, like, we got to be insane, we got to be crazy, these new weird things, and then we're all gonna fall right back to like classic traditional filmmaking. I think that people are gonna, because it's already, you're watching it happen with maybe it sounds like a weird ones to pull up, but like the Stranger Things phenomenon and like even It to an extent, of these things that are like, it's, we're craving that like feet on the ground spooky old traditional filmmaking feeling.
Sure,
thing.
Yeah,
because those things don't feel new, they feel like throwbacks, and I know it's because they're set in the 80s or set in the 70s.
I would disagree. I don't think they feel like throwbacks, but they're definitely touching on something that has been missing, where it's the feet,
it's
on the ground kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to say. Yeah.
Where it's, I mean, specifically with It, like, you're doing that story, it is very, I guess, E.T.-ish is what I'm looking for. Like, that kind of sense of wonderment and, you know, the sense of childhood, but, like, still having this kind of dark
thing to it. Maybe it has something to do with, because it's weird, because you don't, I never want to completely... just to avoid being a parody of myself, but I never want to always give things to Spielberg stylistically, because I'm sure it has more to do with, I don't know if it was like a technical limitations of that era thing of like the 70s into the 80s of, and we've talked about it, like where now these guys can move the camera wherever they want and they've gone nuts and they need to chill.
Yeah.
But like you're watching and like maybe there's now you're seeing something like It or whatever where it's like the camera's not doing nothing bonkers.
Sure.
And like, you know, it's not really doing that stupid, I'm glad we got out of the phase, or at least have definitely parted the like always handheld, always a little too close, shaky thing, even in horror movies and action movies, let alone. And like, I that's what I mean by the pendulum swinging back to like,
that is
okay,
true.
Let's fucking lock the camera down and just make it, you know.
Yeah, what if we
moves?
Shot this like a movie? What if we went ahead and made a movie that was scary?
This was like a GoPro movie.
Yeah.
A GoPro, like that action, what was it? The first person movie that they just released?
Oh, yeah. What's
action
it called?
Jackson?
Yeah.
Action,
super
action Johnny.
Henry. It's Henry something.
Henry Jack
Hardcore
Action.
Hardcore Henry.
Henry
Hardcore
Action.
Henry, yeah. Hardcore. But now you're hardcore Henry. Henry action, action, passion.
I don't know.
And maybe this is tail wagging the dog, because it's like, to me, I consider that's cinema. That's, I would say, traditional cinematic language or like visual language. But is that just because we are now, like, pop culture grew from late 70s, 80s, and like that was just the way movies looked, and now we can, like, that's, oh no, that's like a movie, that's like a big cinematic movie,
right,
looks,
but that's
that
not the way,
like,
that every movie looked.
Yeah, no,
and
no,
I
guess
think
not.
That the cream rose to the top of what's the most agreeable way to present this blocking.
Yeah,
and I mean, film is still a young medium, so it makes sense that, like, everything before that was the early days of film, and we just happen to establish a style, and maybe it'll change. Yeah. Maybe it'll change, but like, doing so. Okay, so for example, let's talk about the Blair Witch, right? Mm. Kind of started the beginning of the whole found footage kind of movie,
totally.
Specifically horror,
yeah,
movie.
Completely.
And that's rad, right? It did something new, it did something inventive, but is anything that came after it really that good? Like, was anything, I guess Chronicle's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you can make arguments.
Paranormal Activity 1, which I'm not a huge fan, but like, sure, that's something like,
yeah,
that. But it's like, yeah, it definitely had influence, but it didn't take film to the next level. It, sure, influenced those specific things. I think specifically with Spielberg and even Zemeckis and those kind of guys that were just kind of like trying to establish a visual language, as you're saying, like,
which is weird
because
you know they're,
I think, they succeeded
from like 10 dudes.
Absolutely.
So it's like, that's why, I mean, like, there's, I'm sure there's people who are smart who are, or they have this like fucking bevy of film knowledge where they could draw exactly why,
right,
that kind of shot makes me think that sort of thing. But it's like,
and it's about influencing the guy who will influence the next guy, not necessarily like creating everything and then being the genesis of everything, but it's like,
yeah,
okay, this thing was adapted by this guy, whatever, you know.
I guess all I'm getting at is that we've gotten to this point where now the hunger has come back to, and I think it's maybe the thing we've talked about before where pop, like, I keep saying pop culture, but like things that we're fans of fractured once you could have everything anytime,
yeah,
anywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
But like the core, the center of the Star Warses and Indiana Joneses and all that stuff, that all like stayed because it was right before that shit,
yeah,
and it was already ingrained and people were like, you know, we were born in 1992. Our, like, my dad showed me Star Wars. It was already like,
oh yeah,
oh, this is a thing, man. And then things got crazy, and now you can watch, you know.
It's also just because it was obsessively archived. Like, everything about those fandoms, just because they were so big, was, those are the people that made the internet. The people who are into Star Wars and, like,
sure,
fucking,
yeah,
Indiana,
yeah,
Jones and that kind of bullshit. So that's kind of, it makes sense that stuff would be long-lasting. And because,
yeah,
there's plenty of fandoms of huge shit from the 80s. It just, like, doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
They did really well in, like, The Last Starfighter. Like, a lot of people,
yeah,
dig that movie. Well, did really well. Like, made as much money at the box office as, not Star Wars, but like,
sure,
probably Raiders or something like that. And
it's interesting.
Jurassic Park.
That is a movie,
it
Robert.
Made a lot of money.
Yeah, sure did. My point was that it didn't make gangbusters, but it made good movies. Like,
I was staring at the table,
movie,
and then you said like money. Raiders and other movies, and I'm like, Jurassic Park's another one.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying it's if you were fed the same, like if you grew up having like chicken every night for dinner, and that was like what you consider, this is like I have chicken, and that's what like fuels me, and then you decided to just fuck around and have like, oh, I'm gonna,
incredible sense.
I'm gonna eat fucking crazy ass fish now. Maybe eventually you'd start,
I eat chicken.
Like,
that's what fuels me.
Your biology would start to be like, I maybe want to start eating chicken again. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like fish is good and it did a lot of the same stuff for me, but like, I don't know. I like chicken. I was raised on chicken. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I'm hungry.
This is making me hungry.
Yeah, I'm really hungry.
I want chicken.
on the note of traditional cinematic masterpieces,
what's your move? We're gonna jump into you.
I guess I'm gonna go with Silent Hill, the 2006
yeah,
movie based off the video game series.
Have you ever played the video games?
Yes.
Really?
I really liked it. Have you?
No.
Have either of you?
I never have.
Yeah, you know, no, like, that's one of my great shames, because everyone tells me I should go back and play Silent Hill 2. My favorite thing about Silent Hill 2, though, is that the town that you're walking around in was taken shot for shot from Kindergarten Cop. That's the best.
Wow.
This Japanese development, you didn't know this?
No, I did not know
Oh, my God, dude. They've gone through and, like, taken, so the environments in Silent Hill 2, if you've ever played like the first Resident Evil, everything around the character is a pre-rendered image, which basically says like the game's not processing it, it's just showing an image, and your character is 3D and can walk around in it.
Yeah.
So what they did when they built these 3D images, they're like, what does an American town look like? Fucking, I don't know, let's watch an American movie. And I guess the one they picked was Kindergarten Cop, because there are set pieces, specific set pieces, like specific drawings on the wall by kids, specific school bus numbers. I think it might be on Silent Hill 1 or 2. But it's directly from that movie.
That's probably amazing. The first one, because I don't think there's a school in the second one.
What, Kindergarten Cop 1 or 2?
No, Silent Hill.
Yeah, wait, whatever.
What does it have?
I don't know. I did not know that. What was it?
The movie. What does it have?
The movie has Sean Bean.
No, this
who doesn't die. Oh, has a 30. Sorry.
What does it have? This movie, it's got gumption. It has thrills and spills. 30%.
It's 30%, which is weird because it's not great. It's not bad. It's interesting.
Sure.
I think it's the best, probably the best video game adaptation ever seen.
Is there any other not off the top of my head, because I also though I'm not,
you're not really
such
a video game
fan that I would even like know like, oh, that one got it, man.
Right.
Like,
well, I know that they had some of the monsters from the game in the movie, but I think otherwise it was pretty unrelated, right?
Yeah, they have Pyramid Head, which doesn't make any sense.
Why?
Because you don't know? Oh,
well, because it's like a manifestation of that specific psyche, right?
Yeah, but they pretty much just took him and threw him in.
It's just like,
and then he shows up in the second one.
Do you know who Pyramid Head is?
I know. As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, right, that's an image. That
right, because he's the iconic Silent Hill character. Yep. That or the nurses, but I'd say it was... I don't even know Silent Hill, and I know these characters.
Yeah. He's like shirtless. He's got giant nipples that drag on the floor.
Yeah,
I know him.
Yeah.
I know exactly what he looks like. Head. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He wears the red overalls and has the white gloves and is a mouse. That's Pyramid Head.
Yeah.
yeah.
Don't be stupid. That's Mario.
But anyway, hey, yeah, Silent Hill.
Silent Hill, it's fine.
So it's
I don't know why people hate it.
Is that your? Is this your defense? Is this your big sweeping?
It's fine.
Defense? I don't know why.
I'll raise it to a 45%.
I mean, yeah, I guess he's within the parameters of the episode.
Yeah, I'll give it an extra
15%. Like, that's fine, an extra 15%.
Is there a particular...
I mean, I'm not crazy about it, but it's... I don't know why people are so... Now 50%.
It's not making it better. We don't want more money. We don't want more score. We want you to justify it.
No, it's just... It's.
Did you hear me? It's good. I said I like it.
Is there a particular element of it you find strong?
I like I like the costumes. I like the weird little midget. I like that they shoved midgets in like these little condom costumes.
Yeah.
With no arms, and they had to do that.
Is that true?
And then they got paid. Yeah.
Is that where the 15% like that's coming from?
And then they
you get 5% for every midget you fit in a condom.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And I like that Sean Bean didn't die.
I like that too.
Okay, cool.
I like that they used music from the video game.
I think
the entire score is from the video game.
You gotta appreciate that. Because do people is that like a beloved score?
Yeah,
I
think it's a pretty well known.
I like when they do that kind of shit.
Yeah, I think it's nice.
You know, I the Homecoming.
But they didn't do anything stupid like the Doom movie when it goes into like first person for the whole section.
Well, sure.
Oh, so
actually.
Sorry, what did you say?
Huh? I was just talking about the Doom movie.
Oh yeah, the fucking Doom movie. That movie is ridiculous.
Did you like that one?
I like the last 10 minutes of that movie, where you think he's dead, but he comes back, and he's from the first person perspective. You find out The Rock's the main guy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I guess The Rock was in a horror movie.
They shoot it like the Doom game, like where the gun is
that's
in the middle of the
saying.
Screen
he
and he's
that stupid.
Bobbing. You thought that was dumb?
Yeah, he didn't like it.
I thought that shit was the best part of the movie.
No, I didn't. Oh, the first person part?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was fun.
Because everything else was just fucking, we're Space Marines!
Yeah.
Just the same stupid, boring bullshit as everything else.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. The only part I saw was the first part where it goes in the first person.
You know what's really stupid? Making a Doom movie. That was their first mistake. It's like, well, what can we do to capture the spirit? You can't. Don't make the movie. That's how you capture the spirit. You keep it as a video game. But I'm reading the Wikipedia for Silent Hill, and it says... Gans and Avery began working on the script in 2004, and Avery used Centralia, Pennsylvania as an inspiration for the town. I'm pretty sure that the creators of Silent Hill used Centralia, Pennsylvania for, like, I remember reading that.
No, it was the writer of the movie.
It's like, you know, no, I really just thought of where this town comes from and like what could be in this town.
I looked on the Wikipedia of Silent Hill, the video game, and
these were the days before Wiki. Can you remember? I remember being younger and like Googling things and ending up on Wikipedia and go, what the fuck is this? I don't want to go here. Stop taking me. And then one day I realized, oh, all the world's knowledge is on this website.
I don't remember.
I fucked up.
I feel like the Mortal Kombat movie is always going to be kind of a guilty pleasure.
Oh, yeah,
too.
I like the first one. I really do like the first one.
I was trying to decide which video game movie I was going to defend.
So you decided neither. Yeah.
I could probably do that. We could do that as a theme episode.
Mortal Kombat?
No, just, yes.
No, video game, video game movies?
Which is your favorite Mortal Kombat movie?
Video game movies?
Yeah.
I mean, how many good ones are there?
None.
Resident Evil was
fine. That's why it's good to defend it, because they're all pretty bad.
Silent Hill was, I mean, it was competent. I mean, but it's not, I mean, obviously I'm not very thrilled about it.
Yeah, it's also hard to fuck up. It's so hard to fuck up a horror movie, though. It's like, honestly. Well,
that's not true. I mean, they can be unbearable.
They can be, but it's also hard to fuck. Like, when you're adapting a horror game, right? It's like, what are the elements of this? Keep people spooked. Let's
mansion,
just use some of the monsters.
Mansion, zombies, guns.
Sure.
And then the whole thing takes place under like a weird facility.
Are you talking about Resident
Manson
Evil?
Yeah.
Yes. But I will say that that's why I think Manson. Why Resident Evil got more movies was because it did differentiate itself from the movies. Marilyn Mansion? Is that what you're trying to go for here? Marilyn Manson's Marilyn Mansion?
Because he did the score for the first Resident Evil.
Did he really?
Yeah. I like the score for these video game movies. They always have good scores.
Yeah, they do.
Silent Hill, the Marilyn Manson and the Mortal Kombat. Well,
apparently not. I mean, you have to raise it up Rammstein. To 45.
45 is still pretty good.
Oh, Tim. He's saying score. Like, he means, like, the Rotten Tomatoes score. He's being a funny boy.
Sorry.
Hey, Robert.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Do you not like me or something?
No.
I think that's what it is. I was just thinking that, too. Yeah.
You're fine.
Okay. Okay, yeah, 45, whatever. This went off the fucking rails. We'll bring this
I'm going to raise it to 50.
Oh,
wow. It kind of bums me out.
You already raised it to 50.
Well, the whole movie is, like, very somber. Like, there's no jokes.
That is true.
Don't backtrack on why we shouldn't out. Like it.
I'm going to bring it back down to 30, because it bums me out.
That's the first.
There's like no men in the movie. Sean Bean is the only man, and he's not even in the town. Just a bunch of girls.
I want to watch a movie about a bunch of girls.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you what, a bunch of women on a hill, that shit ain't silent.
Yeah.
They be gabbing.
Oh, God.
Women be talking.
All right, everybody.
Bring it to a close. This has been Reasonable Beef. Thank you so much for following along. Right. Hey, do me a favor and send emails to reasonablebeef@gmail.com. We're going to read one email per regular episode, but if your email is not written on this episode, motherfucker, it's going to be written.
It's going to be written
on a bonus episode. So,
my butt is sweating.
We got Taylor Kim.
Okay. Sorry, Taylor.
Hi, hello. Hi, guys. I've been watching your YouTubes on video for a while and discovered the podcast this year. It's amazing and hilarious. Thank you. Thanks. It takes about 2 hours to my uni and I listen to Reasonable Space Beef. You fucked up. Is it two words?
Dude, yeah, it's two words.
Oh, wow. I just always read it as a URL. It's always reasonable. Never mind, Taylor.
How many
I'm
times
sorry.
Have you typed the title to your podcast?
Very rarely when it's not a URL. Holy shit. Okay. All the time and giggle like an idiot along with you guys while people on the bus stare at me. It's great. Thank you.
Nice.
I love watching films and dream of working in the industry someday. Someday soon, I hope, because time is pressing so goddamn fast and I'm slowly growing worried. Anyway, love you. Taylor Kim from South Korea. I know, South Korea? Yeah, even I wonder how I got so deep into YouTube sometimes. LOL. Also, Two-Headed Critic wasn't too bad. Jesus Christ.
Nice, thank you, Taylor.
All right, Taylor. Thank you.
Thanks, Taylor.
Taylor, backhanded compliments, Kim. We're at South Korea because we have
Seth
agent
King.
Agent embedded in South Korea.
Yeah.
Hidden working for OGN. Yeah, Seth King, shout out
Achilles.
To Achilles. He's on the next episode, right?
Oh my God.
I think he's literally the guest
of the
next episode.
Seth is coming to town.
Who?
Seth King.
Oh, I haven't seen him since the first time I met you.
7 years?
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
But yeah, Taylor, thank you so much for the
Thanks,
email.
Taylor.
I appreciate the words.
That's nice. Get to LA.
Yeah, come Taylor. To LA. We'll say hi.
She didn't say anything to me.
I think it might be. Oh, I guess it's Taylor Kim.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. Yeah, well, okay, sorry.
Oh, it's best not to assume.
What's her email? Either way, get to LA. This is where you want to be.
What's her email address?
Her email address?
Don't do that.
Their email address is...
No.
Thank you so much. This has been
maybe somebody wants to talk to her. I don't know.
Also, hey, if you like this episode, this meandering, insane fucking episode, please go to Oh, God, no.
Sorry, everybody.
It's self-deprecating. It wasn't. Okay. www.patreon.com/reasonablebeef. Give what you can. I'm thinking about just making it any money gives you access to bonus beefs, but I'm so used to saying $5 gives you access to bonus beef. I just sound like a fucking damn fool.
Can we do three-headed critic on... all those movies?
Yeah, sure.
Can we do three-headed critic on underrated horror movies?
Sure, three-headed critic on underrated spooky Halloween movies.
What is that?
You, three-headed critic?
Three-headed critic.
You were on the episode.
Oh, is that
we did it with you.
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
You've done this before.
Sorry.
All right. I'll start it off.
Robert, you start.
Okay, great. All right, start us off here.
If
you
can't
handle
watching
scary any word, Robert, any one at all.
If you can't handle watching scary,
don't you can't think it's
if you can't handle watching scary scary
me.
Thank you, everybody. This is a reasonable beef.
You can't handle watching scary me.
I was trying to figure out how to turn it into if you can't handle me at my worst, then.
If you can't handle me at my scariest.
Spooky, scary. Wolves becoming men. Men becoming wolves. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
All right.